Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Ray Ferraro. You're a lifelong Red Sox fan. It must just sicken you seeing Mookie Betts play the way he's been playing. And it's just gross.
Of all the players that they chose that they couldn't keep in Boston, you lose a player, one of the top four or five players in the game, one of the, a great face for your franchise, enthusiastic, fun, brilliant player. And because you paid David Price a gazillion dollars and you paid Chris Sale, the same thing, they're like, oh, now all of a sudden the Red Sox, who have like $1 trillion in revenue every year, they're like, oh, we got to cut the budget. Of all the guys, that's the guy they let go? When he made that catch the other day, like, I'm not a Dodger fan.
Which one?
Yeah, exactly.
That was twice.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't believe I'm watching him in a Dodger uniform. He's so good and he's so entertaining. Oh, I love watching him play.
Yeah, he really is one of the most entertaining athletes in sports. Forget baseball. I mean, just in pro sports right now, watching Mookie Betts perform, you're waiting for someone to hit a ball to right field. Like, you're waiting for Mookie to just be like, I'm going to get this thing. And he can hit, he can run the bases, he defends. I mean, everything he brings to the table. And the crazy thing about that, too, is that the Red Sox just won a World Series in 2018. Like, it's not like they dumped all this money in and they won 65 games 3 years in a row and said, forget it. Like, I hate this team and I'm vengeful and I'm getting rid of everyone and we're going to reload. They just won a World Series 2 years ago, which means they would have made a fortune off that run. A fortune.
But here's the thing. So even if they had to change the mix or do whatever the hell they had to do, I'll go back to this again. Of all the guys,
right,
that's the one guy to keep.
Yeah.
He made a play the other night, like, I don't know. I mean, I've watched baseball 100 days in a row, so I think it was in game five. It was a sinking liner, and he came in and caught it off his shoe tops and threw it like a short to home plate. And you're like, there's nobody makes that play. Like, oh man,
no, they don't.
Yeah, you can tell. Yeah. I'm not thrilled with this development. But
no.
I read
a great article about him, in this year in Dodgers camp, like a week in. They're playing exhibition games. And he stood up and addressed his teammates and said, this isn't good enough. And even the guys that had been in Boston with him, Joe Kelly and David Price, were like, wow, this is unusual. And he said, no, we got to play every game like it's game seven. In exhibition this year in baseball. You know what exhibition is in baseball.
Oh, man. Your clubs are in the car.
We're playing every game like it's game seven so that when we get to game seven, it'll be normal.
Pooley, one of my favorite things I did was one year I had a scheduling thing, and I was in Arizona during spring training. And so I went to a couple of days in a row. And watching those guys in the preseason, I'm like, this is the best. So the pitcher, pitched his two innings at the start. He's running, his sprints or runs in the outfield during the game.
That's great.
And the ball goes into the gap, and he just stops, right? The ball rolls right past him. The fielder runs around him, grabs it, and throws it in. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, it's the best. And there us dummies were grinding out two-a-days and scrimmaging every second day and then playing nine exhibition games. And
soaking wet gear.
And you're right. Like, you want to talk about country club. Like, I've been around that spring training where, the trainer will go, okay, four outfield, whatever it is, sprints, and it's literally a guy could be in a lawn chair and having it pushed along. Like, it's just a saunter out.
It's the best.
I laughed because, baseball is just such a different sport as far as it's time consuming. It's every day, those guys. But the amount of how laid back it is so impressive for me. Like, just the, you know, the managers walk in, guys are watching TV. Like, it's almost like the game gets in the way of everything else that they're doing, playing cards, and there's a buffet. Like, it's
I
mean, these guys
and
live
the players
at the stadium.
Run yeah. the show too. Like, oh, the union yeah. is obviously, you know, famously powerful. And yeah. that the best part about spring training is the scheduling, where like the Jays are in Dunedin. It's not that hot in March. You know, it can be 17, 18, 19 degrees.
Right.
But they're like, yeah, we got to go early. You know, we let's get this done by about 9:30, so that they can basically tee off by 10. You know, that's essentially what they're saying. And
my favorite spring training drill, we see it on TV every year, is when the pitchers are practicing covering first base. They're not even using a ball. And so they do a pretend pitch to the plate, and then the first baseman fields a ball, and he flips it. The guy's got to run six steps. It's not like he has to run back and do it again. Then he just goes to the back of the line and
yeah, we're
for
done.
A third. That's so good.
Ray, there's a video of Bartolo Colon doing that, and it's probably the greatest video in the history of the internet. He's just faking a throw. Like, he doesn't even have his glove on. He's like, all right, let's just go. Like, I've got other things and other priorities.
You know what, though?
Let me move this along.
You brought up characters. I miss Bartolo Colon. Like, I watched a video. I think somebody may have sent it to Overdrive the other day, where Bartolo picked up a ball that got hit back to him, and he backhanded it to the first base as he kept running into, like, it was the third out.
Third
so he
out.
Kept running, and he knew exactly what he was doing, but it's one of the greatest throws and reaction, because he's laughing the whole time. This guy's in the middle of a game, and it comes back to him, and he backhands it to the first baseman for the out as he continues to run to the dugout. Like,
save
it was
steps.
It was such a great play.
You remember that, Hayes? You remember that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he could have thrown that into the fifth row, and he'd just be like, all right, well, toss me a new one.
Do that again, yeah.
Yeah, I'll try it again next time you hit a dribbler. Like, how dare you make me run off the mound? If I'm getting off the mound, awesome. I'm getting on SportsCenter. I'm going to do something here. It's going to be fun to see how it all plays out tonight. And, you know, the Boston situation – I guess there's some similarity with the Blackhawks, and we were talking about that letter that the team sent out to their fans, and the transparency of it all, and basically saying we're rebuilding here, and we don't just want a window, we want to reach the top of the summit, and we want to stay there, and it's going to take some time, and there's going to be some mistakes. We went around the room on this, Ray. My interpretation basically is, you know, it's not a tank, but it's kind of like we're not really thinking we're going to win. And if we don't win and the kids develop, that's the priority. And basically, Taves, Kane, Keith, Seabrook, you're not our priority. Everyone else is our priority. How did you read that?
I thought because of those guys, it was far more complicated than what the Rangers did a couple of years ago, which I thought was fantastic. Remember, the Rangers had some pretty good years.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent out basically a rebuild letter, and, you know, saying kind of, we don't think we can win with what we have, and we got all these young players coming, and we're going to develop them. But they didn't have the complication of these, like the four guys you're talking about. And so at that World Championship site, I actually ran into Jeff Gorton, the Rangers GM, going down an escalator in the rink, and I'm like, man, I like that letter you guys sent. I mean, like, everybody can see it. And so you treat the fans and your customers like they're part of the deal. Like, they're not just, you know, blindly following. And he said, well, you know, however he said it, but it was along the lines of, like, you know, that's what we're headed to do, so we thought we should do it. He goes, now I just hope it works. Well, man, I think they've raced down the road. The Rangers have gotten some good players, some young players, in a hurry. Chicago
won the lottery
a
couple of times.
Yeah,
and
man.
Won the lottery.
Like, hey, Pooley, you can be, you know, you're the only one of us that's been in the management side of this thing, and you can have the best plan, but it sure helps to get lucky, too.
No kidding.
Yeah,
no kidding.
But it's complicated with those big boys, man. It is really complicated because, like, if I'm doing a show in Chicago. I'm trying to get a comment from Taves, Kane, Keith. Now
these well, they seem to be caught off guard by the Corey Crawford move. That's what prompted this.
Yeah,
they really seem to be caught off guard because he'd be.
You know what I didn't like with the letter, Pooley? Sorry to jump in, Pooley. I didn't like that they didn't. They said, you know, we let go a couple of long time Blackhawks. They should have had Corey Crawford's name in there.
Yes,
right.
Like he would deserve that.
He deserves that, and it might be a minor detail, but clearly that letter wasn't written in 10 minutes. And somebody with oversight should have said, hey, we got to mention these guys. Hey, you know, it's part of our Stanley Cup teams, a big part. And you just kind of dust them off like somebody that's in and out of there in 10 games. I didn't like that part of it either.
Well, the big detail guy there was John McDonough, and he's gone now, Ray.
Yeah.
You know, the president, he was the detail guy.
There's a lot of change for sure. And, you know, it started with, when Joel was let go and they brought in, you know, a coach in Jeremy Colleton who was younger than some of the players. And that's going to be awkward and that's going to take time. And I don't know if Jeremy Colleton's a great coach or not, or a good coach or a developing coach. You know, I don't know enough about him to really form an opinion. But there's some awkwardness and some misfits in Chicago that, I guess if I'm looking at the other side of the letter, it's that they got to get this stuff on the right, on the same page. But that still leads you back to those four big boys, and what do you do with them?
Well, that's it. I mean, and the market would be so different for them all. No one's taking Brent Seabrook. Nobody. Like,
what,
Chicago's
5 years left?
Yeah, it's at like eight something.
I think it's four, but he's going to be on LTIR. I think he. I don't know if he. My understanding.
They have to hope so.
I think he is going to be. I don't think he's healthy.
It looks like that.
I think he's going to be a guy who, you know, unfortunately doesn't play again, and that's a contract that may get moved because maybe somebody wants to pick that up. That would be my only interpretation or assumption.
Okay.
Without knowing. I think that one, it's just, I bring back the other two, Ray, where Brian and Pooley and I were talking about with Taves and Kane. They've got 3 years left. They're both still really, I mean, Kane is as good as anybody in the league still at 31 years old, 32. Like, but are they going to want to ride this out for 3 years?
Well, today they are, but, you know, you get into a year and a half of this and maybe, you know, and I don't, you know, we don't know. We're not talking to them about it, but a year and a half in, if the road looks pretty bleak still, You might think differently. Like, so they look at their goaltending this year.
Yeah,
like,
believe me,
Colin Delia better be really good.
He's not,
because Kevin Lankinen, I watched him at the World Championships. He played the tournament of his life in that, and then he was in the American League, and you know he's not your number one guy. I forget who the third guy is, but. Delia is the one I think they have the highest hopes for.
Malcolm Subban's there. He signed a 2-year extension, I believe, at 800 or 900. But like, I'm with you, Ray. Like they may do it by committee, but that's a massive, and I repeat, massive drop off from Corey Crawford. Corey Crawford, even on a terrible team last year, that a team that gave up so many shots. I think statistically, when you look at, you know, expected goals and some of the things you do a deep dive, he was like top five. He was that good.
Leonard backing him up.
Yeah, like they went from Leonard and Crawford. You're going to go to Subban.
Probably the worst tandem in the league.
Yeah,
so,
you're right.
Like, are they tanking? Like, and is this the year to tank if it's going to be a shortened season with no fans anyway? It's actually not the worst strategy. I just don't know how you sell it to guys who are going to have their. They might as well have their jerseys retired right now. No one's ever wearing 19-2. Or 88 ever again.
Well, like one tank doesn't do it either right now. You can't just tank once, hope you win the lottery. And, I mean, it's got to be a sell. Now, on those guys' contracts, I was just looking at them, and both of them are cap over cash by about $3.5 million. So the cash is that much less, which makes them a little more attractive to some teams.
For the hit.
Cap's not going up either. I mean,
but there's one other thing to that, too. It's having the stones to make the deal if you want to.
No question.
Right. Like, there, it's one thing to say, oh, yeah, we could move them along, but you're going to – you're Stan Bowman, and you're going to go out there and say, yeah, we traded Patty Kane today for a first-round pick, and Joe Schmo, a really good prospect, and, I don't know, something else. Like, you want to go out there and do that? I imagine that's not high on your list of, hey, this will be a good day.
He's still a top 10 scorer in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, that good.
Like, how – the one guy – well, I don't know. I was going to say Duncan Keith because
who's that? Stan Bowman? Stan Bowman, Stan, you shut your yap.
Stan doesn't like what you said, Ray.
Just set the alarm on the car.
I'm sitting in my car and my fat ass sat on the
okay. Well, this is going well. I think his phone just basically said
we've
we're
lost
done here
him now.
Too.
Now he's sitting on his phone.
Yeah, somebody, now it's just a mess.
Somebody honked the horn and then attacked him.
There he is.
I sat on the keys. I set the alarm off. It cut the phone. Yeah. Other than that, things are going good.
Okay. Good stuff. Well, with that in mind, how would you feel if you're still a UFA? There's still some pretty big names out there, and as we've been, you know, documenting, there's not a ton of money. How often would you be calling your agent if you're Mike Hoffman?
Me?
Or yeah, and be like, what are we doing here?
My agent was Steve Bartlett. He would have had a phone stuck to his ear because I honestly would have called him every day.
Yeah,
and I'm sure the answer is would have been same as yesterday. Like, once you get past those first couple things, the first couple of days, if you're a player like Hoffman, excuse me, and Pooley, correct me on this, but I think you almost have to wait until that next buyout window is clear.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Otherwise you're sitting in a, you know, you got 1 year at nothing.
Yeah, he's in a real void. I mean, he scores a certain way, and he's got to be that much better than the guy you got who's already doing that, right? Because you've got a guy right. Who's on the first power play who, you know, takes one-timers from the wing and he gets 24 goals. Well, is 28 goals that much better than 24 goals? Because he's going to do that job and he's going to take those away from that guy. Yeah. And, you know, he's it's kind of strange, but he's limited in the way he scores.
Well, and he's pretty one-dimensional too, guys.
That's it. Not happening.
Do you remember I called that game and I gave him a pass in Ottawa that night when McDavid handed him a check on the way by because, you know, I didn't want to pile on the guy, but that was one of the worst defensive awareness efforts I'd seen in a long time, and that's not summing up his game. But I remember it was a
That was a couple of years ago. And oh. it didn't get better in Florida. He didn't turn into Bob Gainey down in South Beach.
Didn't turn into Dave Poulin in Florida, no. Exactly.
Yeah, and he's playing with a pretty good top 10 power play down there. He's got Huberto and
Barkov.
And Barkov and Keith Yandel on the point.
Yeah.
So top 10 power play.
But don't you guys think that if you were Hoffman – like if the money's not there, if you saw what Dadonoff just signed for, and I think Hoffman's looking for more than that and more term, would you guys agree?
Yeah, probably.
So Hoffman, Dadonoff got 3 years at $5 million. If Hoffman's saying, you know what, I don't think the market's there, wouldn't you sign a 1 year? Do the Taylor Hall, sign a 1 year, try and, for lack of better words, pad your stats, go to somewhere where maybe on a value contract, go nail it out of the park, and if they're, you know, teams will look different with expansion and all that coming in, there's going to be, I think, maybe a better marketplace next summer. Maybe. I don't know.
If I really believed in myself, I would.
Yeah, but
does he really believe in himself?
What's the dollar? Right? Like, what if it's 1 year at $2 million?
You see, Taylor Hall's made a boatload of money. He hasn't made a boatload of money. He simply hasn't.
Right, he's not getting $8 million. If Hall got 1 year at $8 million,
no.
Hoffman's not getting close.
No. Holy smokes,
okay,
man.
That's enough. Now Hoffman's agents snapping on you.
Easy. Easy. Shoot career round 87 today, and you got 6 goals, right? Come on.
76. Same ball. No mullies. No breakfast. Nothing.
I don't buy it.
I knew you wouldn't, but buy it. I kept the scorecard. I've never done that before. I'm going to get it stapled.
How's the inside of your right foot, Bruce?
Yeah, there was, well, you know, you got to get creative, Ray. It was wet. The course was wet.
No, but that's your career best today?
Yeah, 76, yeah.
Oh, outstanding, man.
Yeah,
that's fun to do once in a while.
Well, and like I said off the top, Ray, I should pack the clubs away and say I'll see you in the spring, but I won't, and I'll shoot 94 later in the week, and then I'll hate golf again. But
oh, yeah, because if you shot 76 today, why can't you do it again?
Yeah, well, that's it. I'm going to shoot 75 later in the week, but actually I'll shoot 95 and break a club over a tree.
Be miserable.
Yeah, that's the way the golf sport works, and it keeps you humble. But anyway, all right, buddy. Well, we'll leave it there.
I promise tomorrow I will not be in the car and I will not set the alarm off.
No, it's actually been pretty good for material.
This is great.
We'll cruise to 7 o'clock on just the audio of your alarm going off.
Glad to help out, boys. Glad to help out, buddy.
We'll do it again tomorrow at 5. There he is. Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days continue with rates from 0% and free winter tires with every in-stock new vehicle purchase in October. MapleToyota.com.